You may be seated. I tell you what, that song fires me up like no other, because there's a line in there that says, "For the break our hearts for the people who are far from you." And man, I'm telling you why that song fires me up, because Genesis, our singular vision here at Genesis is this. We have one vision. It's real simple for you to understand. It's simple to remember. It says we exist one reason only, so people far from God can experience a new beginning. That's why this church exists. That's why God afforded us this theater right in the middle of town when everyone else said it was impossible. There is no way. And we prayed and begged God and said, put us right in the middle of town, God. Make it obvious that this is you and no one else. And we said, God, we want you to use us so that people far from you can experience a new beginning. That's why Genesis exists. That is why it's called Genesis. Because Genesis means origins or beginnings. And that is the vision that we have here. And I'm telling you what, over the past almost 2 years, I'm pumped, because December the 12th, 2 years ago, we launched here in CenterPlanet as Genesis Church with a core team that had been planning, praying, preparing their hearts, working, sacrificing, giving, pouring out their lives so that they could see people far from God experience a new beginning. And in 2 years' time, we have seen that taking place. We've seen that take place even in the last few weeks, as people have experienced a new beginning in their life with God, experienced a new beginning with God in a relationship with Him. I tell you, I am pumped. I'm excited about this time of year, and it's not because I had a lot of food to eat and I'm coming off a sugar high or anything like that, although I could have used another cup of coffee this morning. But I'm telling you, I'm pumped, I'm excited. And let me just say, like everybody else, I had that holiday hangover when I came in here this morning. I mean, it was amazing. For those of you who were here 7:30, 8 o'clock this morning, you were helping set up and getting everything ready. And I love the volunteers that show up 7:30, 8 o'clock every Sunday morning to prepare this auditorium, to prepare the next one, to prepare the other room, to prepare everything so that when you and I come in to worship, to meet with God, that everything is ready. I'm telling you, I love serving with that team. But I'll be honest, when we came in here this morning, we were all looking at each other. We had that kind of the bags under our eyes, a little more than usual, and it was quiet. As a matter of fact, at one point, I don't remember who it was, it was Rainey or somebody said, man, it's awful quiet in here. And I said, yeah, it is. May have been Anita, not sure, but somebody said, it's awful quiet in here. I said, yeah. I said, I think everybody's got that holiday hangover. Too much food, staying up too late, bouncing around all the different houses and seeing everybody, and then all of the madness that existed, not on Black Friday. They should just call it Black Thursday now, because it starts on Thursday morning. I couldn't believe it when I saw the sales this year starting at like Thursday morning. I'm like, Thursday morning, I don't care what you've got on sale. I'm staying at home, hanging out, enjoying my day off. I can do that some other time. So if you bought one of those TVs that was on sale for about a third of what it normally sells for, you are a real trooper. But if you got that holiday hangover, maybe you came in here this morning, I want you to know God intended for you to be here today. I don't know what all God did in your life this past week, the week before, maybe the last few months that you wound up here this morning, but I can tell you one thing for certain. God desired and intended for you to be here. We've been in a series called Ghost Adventures that we're going to finish up next week. I'm pumped. We're getting excited about, of course, Christmas is coming up. We're trying to get everything ready for Christmas. You know, maybe you're trying to get stuff ready for your family. We're trying to get ready as a church, too. You realize that? One of the most incredible opportunities this time of year to invite somebody to church. So where everybody else is gearing down from work, we are gearing up to reach a lot of people for the kingdom of God in this season. But in this series, Ghost Adventures, we've been talking about what it means to follow the Holy Spirit. And let me just tell you this, that as a redneck Fraser boy at 22 years old, if you would have told me that God's going to change your life, that God's going to do some radical, unbelievable things in your life, He's going to take you to places. You're going to have one of the first opportunities you're going to have is to sit in people's homes and share the love of Christ with them. And within a few months, within a couple of years, you're going to go to the island of Haiti. And you're going to share your testimony there of what God's done in your life. God's going to call you to preach. Give you an opportunity to share Christ with many others. Speak before thousands at a time. And lead hundreds to Christ. If you would have told me that January 23rd, 1990, I would have said, you're full of, you finished the sentence. Especially knowing, you know, redneck, raised in the South. I'll just go on and say it. Racist. God has a sense of humor. First time I ever got to go on a mission trip, hadn't been saved but about a year or two. God sends me to Haiti. I'm telling you, when God saved me, January 24th, 1990, He changed me. And I saw through different eyes. And I understood the truth. And God changed my life. But I'm going to tell you what. When you step out of your environment and you step into somebody else's, it'll change your perspective. Let me show you what I mean. Do me a favor. Hold your right hand up if you can. Okay, keep it up for a second. When you get into somebody else's environment, it really changes your perspective. It changes how you see things. Because you see, we get into our own train of thought. We get into our own life. We get into our own way of doing things. And we are so wrapped up in our own world that we absolutely lose sight of anything else around us. And we get busy. We get busy with work. We get busy with family. We get busy with our activities. And we're trying to maintain our lifestyles. Or we're trying to maintain some disciplines in our life. And even like this past week, some of your arms are getting tired, but you keep them up. Until you step out of that role, till God does something radically different in your life and starts turning your world upside down, maybe for good, maybe for bad, but to get your attention, sometimes it just takes stepping out of the norm in order for you to see what is going on around you. And right now, you realize what it means to be a 3-year-old kid being dragged around in the grocery store by your parent. Because your arm is tired. Now you know what somebody else feels like. You can put your hands down. You just got into the world of a 3-year-old being dragged around Walmart. But here's the deal. God sometimes does some radically strange things in our life to get our attention. And if you're hard-headed like me, He really has to do something drastic. He really has to get my attention in some real ways. When we're talking about following God, when we're talking about following the Holy Spirit, we've seen over the last few weeks how the Holy Spirit, through the person of Christ, lives with us. That when we accept Jesus Christ, that we come into a relationship with Him, and God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, takes up residence in our life. And when God takes up residence in our life, guess what? Some things start to change. Some things start to change drastically and radically. And this passage that I want to share with you this morning, and I hope you've got a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, I'm telling you what, we'll give you one right after the service. You stop by at guest services out there in the lobby. They'll be glad to give you a Bible. We have a Bible for you. If not, the passage will be up here on the screen behind me. But I'm just going to read three passages in Galatians chapter 5, three verses, that is, in Galatians chapter 5, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. And what's interesting about this passage is I was studying this, just kind of preparing for this morning, and I knew that I was going to use this passage this morning talking about the Holy Spirit, that adventure of following the Holy Ghost, that adventure of following God's leadership in our life that lives within us. I was reminded that a couple of weeks after I was saved, that my pastor, Ken Culver, gave me this passage to memorize. He told me, he said, Bodie, I want you to memorize Galatians 5:16-18. So I did. I didn't know anything. I'd been saved 2 weeks. I didn't know anything. Now, granted, I was 22 years old. I'd gone to church as a kid, so I knew John 3:16. I knew Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I knew a couple little passages, but it was only because I had heard them so many times. Maybe as a kid, I don't remember. In church when I was a kid, I was told to memorize a couple of passages, but this is the first verses that I ever memorized as an adult who gave my life to Christ. And like I said, I'd only been saved about 2 weeks, and it was Genesis 5:16-18. I'm going to read it in just a moment, but I, you know, old school, I learned it in the King James. So if you give me just a second, I mean, this passage said, excuse me, I've got, gosh, I didn't want to do that in the mic, scare you. Paul says these words, if you have the King James, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now I'm going to read this in the NIV for you real quickly. "So I say," listen to what Paul says. He's talking about living, following the Holy Spirit. Living your life with the intent of following God's Spirit that lives in you. Listen to what he says about it. He says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other." Get this, there's a war going on. "So that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." Now, I'm going to stop right there. What Paul's been talking about in the book of Galatians, there was a group of people that were coming into Galatia that were trying to convince the Galatians that they not only needed to put faith in Jesus, but they also need to be circumcised. They also need to keep the Mosaic law. They needed to be good Jews. They need to be converted to good Jews as well as trust Jesus. They said that Jesus thing, that's all fine and great, yeah, but you need to add these things to it. And what Paul did was he wrote this letter in confrontation. Said, if you are not trusting Jesus and Jesus alone, you are still dead. He said, matter of fact, he said, there is no way you can keep the law of God. It is impossible. He said the law, he talks about in chapter 3 how the law was actually kind of like to teach us that we were separated from God. It was to help us to understand that we are living in the context of a broken relationship with God, and that what Jesus came to do was to bridge that relationship, so that as we trust Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross, Him taking my punishment for my sins, He didn't do anything wrong. The Bible says He was without sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That simply means that Jesus was without sin. He walked this earth as a man, fully God, fully man, lived a sinless life in my place because I couldn't live it for me. And then He became my substitute on the cross. Now, how many of you ever got a spanking when you were a kid? And the rest of you, I'd help you. I deserved every one I got, and a whole bunch I didn't get. But can you imagine for a moment doing something you know you deserve to be punished for, and your parent walking over to you and say, I'm going to have to punish you for what you did. I love you, but I cannot let you get away with it. You knew good and well that you were not supposed to do this, yet you did it anyway. I'm going to have to punish you for it. And then turn around and grabbing one of your siblings and say, but I'm going to spank them instead. And you'd say, that's not fair. You may wish they did, but you say, that's not fair. That's exactly what Jesus did for you and I. The punishment that you and I deserve, it says God put on Him instead. And what Paul was trying to tell those at Galatia, if you add anything to that, you're under curse. You're still lost. You're trusting something other than Jesus. And he puts this passage in here in chapter 5, we see this passage where he makes this transition, and he says there's two paths that you can take here. There's two choices that you have when you understand this. When you read the book of Galatians, when you get to this passage, you realize there's two diverging roads. There's two diverging paths. There's two ways I can live my life. One, as he says, so I say, live by the Spirit. That's one. One that's led by the Holy Spirit. Or, as he says, you will not. If you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The other option is that you can live totally led by your own sinful nature. One is led by God. The other is opposed to God. You see, we like to imagine that there's a whole lot of options. But with God, there are only two options. One, to live by the Spirit, filled with God's Spirit, saved by the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ. Or one, we can follow the other, our sinful nature, just do things the way we've been doing them, just keep going the direction we've been going, and it is totally opposed to God. Unlike the BCS, which is ultimately confusing, and they will have multiple choices, apparently. As a matter of fact, I don't know. I'm sure next week's games, the championships games, are just going to kind of muddy everything up. Unlike the BCS, with God, it's very clear. There's one path you can follow His Spirit. And there's one path you can follow yourself. And when it comes to following the Holy Spirit, when it comes to truly understanding the adventure that is following God with your life, there's only two chances. There's only two options, I mean. Two choices. I want to talk to you. As a matter of fact, here, I want to spend a few minutes this morning. Before you leave here, I want you to understand what it means to follow the Spirit of God. I don't want any person in this room to have any doubts, any questions, any second thoughts about what it truly means to follow the Holy Spirit. How to hear the Holy Spirit speak into your life. How to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. How to follow God in your life. As a matter of fact, if I could have one very clear thing this morning, one very clarion message to you this morning, before you leave here this morning, I want you to understand one thing and one thing alone, what it means to follow God with your life. Because there's a lot of questions. Now, you don't have to respond to this, but just think about it for just a moment. I just want to ask a couple of very inquisitive questions. You don't respond, but just think about them. When was the last time you truly felt like you were following God with your life? When's the last time? When's the last time you really felt like you heard from God? Maybe you're sitting there this morning and say, I don't even know how to follow God. By the time you leave here this morning, you will. Because a lot of people are saying, I just don't know what God's will for my life is. I just want to know what God wants for me. I just want to know. I don't know what it means to hear from God. I don't know what it means to listen to God, to follow Him in my life. You will this morning. What it means to live by the Spirit, number one, first of all, is that we walk out in our lives what we say we believe. So I say, live by the Spirit. If you have King James, it says, walk in the Spirit. The word there is real simple. It just means to walk it out. You can have a great plan for anything. If you like carpentry, you can have a great blueprint to build something magnificent. But you know as well as I do the greatest blueprints, because how many of you ever built a house and you bought all those books that had all those house plans and you had house plans everywhere and it was a long time before you ever built a house? Because you know as well as I do, until you take that blueprint and start hammering, grabbing a hammer, some nails, some boards, and start putting some stuff together, nothing's really going to manifest itself. I'm not a carpenter. I'm a mechanic. You give me two pieces of wood, I can build you a good fire. That's about it. Now, if you have one set in there, I can duplicate it because I know how to measure everything. But I'm a mechanic. Paul says, live by the Spirit. Walk it out in the pattern of your life. You see, it does me no good to say that I'm a Christian. Anybody can claim to be a Christian. Anybody can. As a matter of fact, a lot of people do claim to be Christians. A lot of people do claim that they know Jesus Christ. But when you look at the reality of how their life is being played out, it doesn't match what the Bible says. The decisions they make, the directions they take, the things that they do with their life, it's like this does not match any similarity in the pattern of the life of Jesus. So what I must conclude from that is that what they're walking out, what they're living out in their life, if it's opposite of what Jesus walked out in His life and what He said we should walk out in our life, then obviously they're not living by the Spirit. They're not living according to God. They're not following God with their life. There's a big difference. Don't miss this. This is so simple that it would be easy for us to glaze over this when Paul says, look, I say, live by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. In other words, follow God with your life. Walk out what you say you believe. Walk it out in your life. Let God lead you in your life. When He says something, you just do it. I don't always do it. And I can tell you when I don't, it's a whole lot more painful than if I did. He says, walk out in your life what you say you believe. Secondly, what it means to live by the Spirit. It means to battle against anything in my life that is opposite to the Holy Spirit's work. Listen to what he says in verse 17. It's a big verse, I realize it, but listen, it's really simple what he says. He says, the sinful nature, in other words, my old nature, doing things my own way, living my life just any old way I choose, that sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. In other words, if I just do the things that I want to do and I don't pay any attention to the Holy Spirit, I can tell you and rest assured it plays out in my life that if I ignore God, I'm going to wind up doing the opposite of what God told me to do to begin with. Because my sinful nature is contrary to the Spirit. And it says that the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. And they are in conflict with each other. So that you do not do what you want. In other words, there is a war constantly going on for the control of your life and my life. There's a battle taking place, and you think it's just between guys, you think it's between you and your wife. That was bad enough, ain't it? On who's going to make the decisions. But here's the deal. There is a war that is constantly going on for your destiny, for your future. There is a battle that is taking place, and the Holy Spirit of God is actively leading you into God's destiny for your life. But that old sinful nature, me doing things my way, is going to lead me in direct opposition. You say, man, that's serious. Problem is, there's a battle going on. Most of us never show up. Most of us never show up to do battle. We gripe, we complain about the things going on in our life. We don't like the outcome of our life and stuff. But we won't stand up and fight for God's destiny for our life. We just go whichever way we choose. You must fight for it. A lot of people say, I didn't realize it was going to be that hard. It is going to be hard because there is a war going on within you that says you don't have to live according to God's plan. You can ignore the Holy Spirit in your life. You can go any way you choose, and God is there whispering to you, speaking to you, bringing people into your life to say, God has something better for you than this. Now it's time to start fighting for it. Now it's time to take control. Now it's time to start following His Spirit. To follow the Spirit of God. To live by the Spirit means to fight and to fight for your destiny, for God's destiny for your life. What he's saying here is he says you cannot do, he said, makes this statement, so that you do not do what you want. Do you know what he's saying there? He said the choices that you make in your life will never be free from this conflict. Every choice you make is going to have this conflict in the middle of it. And you can choose to either go God's direction, follow His Spirit, or you can choose to go your own and just go the way you're going. Your choices are never free from this conflict. As a matter of fact, you will have to make tough decisions if you want to live by the Spirit. There's an old saying, and it's true. It says, until the pain of staying the same becomes stronger than the pain of change, it will never change. If you're tired, let me tell you something real clear. If you're tired of the results that you are getting in your life, then it's time to make a change. It's time to fight for it. It's time to say, you know what, God? I thought this was just going to be easy. I thought this was just going to be a piece of cake. Show up to church every once in a while, and my life would just cruise on. But I'm finding that stuff just didn't work. It may sound good on TV with a TV preacher. It ain't working well when I'm fighting with my wife, and I can't get my kids to listen to me, and I can't get along with my coworkers, and man, I feel like I'm on an emotional roller coaster half the time and don't know which way's up. But I'm telling you, when you start following the Spirit of God, you're going to have to make some tough choices. And you're going to have to say, you know what? I'm going to follow God even when it's difficult, even when it's hard. I'm going to follow the Spirit of God, because here's the deal. God's ready to blow some stuff wide open in your life, and you're one decision away from it. You're one decision away from saying, you know what, I'm just going to follow God with my life and see where it takes me. You may not wind up in South Africa like my daughter did. You may not wind up in some foreign country. You actually may wind up seeing your marriage restored. You may actually wind up having your life transformed and changed by the power of God. You may wind up overcoming that past that has been keeping you so enchained and imprisoned for so long. You see, there's a war constantly going on for control of your life, as I said, and your choices will never be free from this conflict. If what it means to live by the Holy Spirit is to battle against anything in my life that is opposite to the Holy Spirit's work. And it's going to be a battle. Number three, what it means to live by the Spirit is to willingly follow the Holy Spirit's leadership. Verse 18, he said, but if you are led of the Spirit, I like that. If you are led of the Spirit, and it means to be willingly led. That's what it means. It don't mean to be drugged, because so many times we feel like we just begrudgingly make decisions to follow God. But the truth, the reality is that it means to be willingly led by the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that it's not out of religious duty or obligation, but when we are willing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our everyday lives, that we will truly experience what it means to live by the Spirit. As I said earlier, I came in this morning, it was just kind of, you have that kind of lingering effects from Thanksgiving and all the things that go on in this morning. But I'll tell you what, we got everything set up. Everything was done. It's about 20 minutes before the service started. And I started pacing a little bit. Rainey asked me, I was up top, and I think I was probably making her nervous because I was walking around. And she said, you okay? And I said, I just feel like God's Spirit really wants to do something this morning. And she said, good or bad? I said, I think good. I said, I just don't want to get in the way of it. I want to speak to parents for just a second. Not to leave anybody out, but I want to speak to parents. How easy is it to show favoritism, and blessing to your children when they're just simply following your directions? It's easy, ain't it? If you're a parent, you love your kid, you want to bless them. That's just natural. You want to bless them. But if they're being unruly, if they're not listening to you, if they keep making the same mistakes over and over again, and you're trying to gently instruct them, and they're still ignoring your input, they're still ignoring what you've said, you can't just come along and bless them, can you? Because then you just wind up ruining them. If you do. Now think about, parents, think about that in terms of our relationship with God. If we're willingly led by God, say, God, I know there's some tough decisions I got to make in my life. I know I got to start fighting for what you want in my life and really pouring my heart into it. And God, I just really want to be willingly led by you. I want you to open some doors. I want to follow you. How much easier is it for God to start pouring out some things in our life? You see, God's not trying to punish you like a parent's punishing a child, but he just can't bless you. He can't pour out his favor on you as his child if you're not willingly following him. It's not that God's holding out on you. You're holding out on God. I can tell you, anytime God wants to get a blessing in my life, the only person that's going to stop it, it's not going to be the people around me. It's going to be this bald, fat guy right here that's going to stop it. Because God is trying to get a blessing in our life. And when we're willingly led by the Holy Spirit, what it means to live by the Spirit, to follow the Holy Spirit in our life, is to be willingly led to say, God, you speak, I will listen and follow. And you would be shocked at the doors that would be open. You would be shocked at the decisions that would become clear to you. You would be shocked at how God would work some things out in your life. He's not sitting back saying, well, until you get in step, I'm just going to hold this out. No, he's saying, child, listen to what I'm saying. Follow me. You don't understand what I have in store for you. You can't figure this out on this end, but I've already got it figured out on that end, and I've got a blessing in store for you. If you will willingly follow my Spirit, what it means to be led by the Spirit also means to be, I will be fully alive. Listen to verse 18. He says, you are not under law. He says, but if you be led, willingly led by the Spirit, you are not under law. You see, under the law of God, I'm dead. I talked about that a while ago. There's not a person in this room that can keep God's law. As a matter of fact, Old Testament and New Testament both say, there's none that doeth good. As a matter of fact, there's a psalm in the Old Testament that says, God looked down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there was any that did understand, any that seek after God. There was none. No, not one. New Testament says there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You may be familiar with those passages. What it means is that under the law of God, I am dead because I am incapable of completely obeying it. If I rely on my good works to be accepted by God, I am dead. As a matter of fact, earlier in the book of Galatians, Paul said in chapter 2, verse 16, he said, by observing the law, no one will be justified before God. That's why religion will always frustrate you. I don't care which religion it is, it will always frustrate you because it can never make you truly alive with God. It is only by following the Holy Spirit who points us to Jesus that we can truly be accepted by God and be fully alive. As a matter of fact, I like what Paul said earlier in this book in Galatians 2:20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. To live by the Spirit means to be fully alive. It does. To be fully awake, to be fully alive to your destiny, to be fully alive to the things that God has called you to. Man, I'm looking at a room full of people that God absolutely has done some incredible things in your life. If you think back over the last few weeks and months at some of the things that God's been doing to get you to this place right now for one eternal purpose, to give you a new beginning. To say, it's time to start following me with your life. It's time to start living by the Spirit. You don't know real life. You don't know what it means to be fully alive until you know that God has used you to make an eternal impact in the difference of others. There's a few of you in here, you know what I'm talking about. God's used you. He's worked through your life, and because he's worked through your life, that's started spilling over into some other people's life. And we're going to talk about this a little bit next week. No, we're going to talk about this a lot next week. But I just want to say this. God is trying to get a blessing into your life to bless you, but it doesn't stop there. He's trying to bless some others through you. There's some men, women, there's some young people in this room. God wants to radically transform not only your life, but the lives of some people around you. How incredible is that? That God wants to bless me as I follow His Spirit. He wants to bless me so that He can bless some people through me. That's what it means to be fully alive. And when you're following the Holy Spirit, when you're listening to God in your life and you're just following Him and saying, God, yeah, I want to follow You, suddenly your life starts take on a new meaning. Suddenly your life takes on more purpose than just showing up and punching a time clock. Suddenly that when I'm at work, I can make a difference in the lives of the people around me. Suddenly, all of a sudden, my relationships start becoming healthy and fruitful again. And once again, to be able to enjoy what it means to have community with other people, whether it's my wife or my children or whether it's good friends, to truly understand there's an eternal fabric, and there's an underlying fabric there that God is working through those relationships to bless me, to bless others. And I'm telling you, that's what it means to be fully alive and follow the Spirit. And I want to close with this. To follow the Spirit, to follow God's Spirit, means I will always know God's presence in my life. Do you realize that? And it doesn't matter what happens in my life. There have been some times in my life where I could easily doubt God's love for me. Man, there's been some painful, some tragic things in my life. It would be real easy to say, where's God in all this? But I'm telling you, in every situation, He has shown up. He has been there. You sang that song a while ago, or maybe you listened to it as others sing it, how He loves us. How He loves us. You see, the choice is real simple. Is follow God and follow God's Spirit in our life, or go our own way. If you're tired of what your own way has gotten you, if you're frustrated with what those decisions have resulted in your life, then I got incredible news. It's never too late. You got a pulse? It's not too late. Can you fog a mirror? It's not too late. It's not too late to say, you know what? Right now, today, I'm going to follow God with my life. I want to ask you to bow your heads. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I want to tell you unequivocally today, it's time to follow God with your life. I'm not talking about the title of a Christian. I'm not talking about being religious, joining a denomination. I'm not even talking about joining this church or any other. I'm talking about truly saying, you know what, I'm going to follow God in my life. Today's your day. The Bible says that now is the time. If you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Now is the time. This is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. First and foremost, I would ask you if you've ever surrendered your life to Him. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've truly said, you know what, God, I realize that Jesus died for me. I realize that You love me. I've sinned against You. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Give me a new beginning. I'm surrendering my life to You. If there's never been that time, then I would challenge you. I would encourage you right now in this moment to begin to pray very quietly in your heart. Just begin to pray and say, oh God, I understand. I understand that You love me. I know that Jesus died for me. And right now, in this moment, I ask You to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me, save me, change me this morning. God, the best way I know how, I give my life to You. Please, God, give me a new beginning this morning. Bow and your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer, something like it, you should do me a favor. Just raise your hand right now and say, Bodie, I prayed that prayer. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Maybe this morning you say, you know what? There's been that time in my life where I've committed my life to Him and I've been saved and changed. Man, I've been walking at a guilty distance. Let me tell you something. It's time for you to come home this morning. It's time for you to start following God's Spirit in your life again. It's time to start seeing, doing some radically different things in your life. It's time for you to start fighting for your destiny, for God's best for your life. Maybe you just need to recommit your life to Him this morning. You just pray very quietly and say, God, I'm ready for something different than what I've experienced so far on my own. I'm ready to follow You again with my life. I'm coming home, God. I ask You to change me, oh God. God, I recommit my life to You. Thank You that You never quit on me. You never gave up on me, God. God, I'm freshly committing my life to You this morning. Thank You, God, for hearing my prayer. Again, I won't come to you. I'm not going to point you out, do anything to embarrass you. If that's you this morning, you say, hey, I recommitted my life to Christ this morning. I want you to just raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. There are others. God bless you, sir. There in the back. Praise the Lord. See, I've let everything else take my attention, distract me, and it's time for me to follow God and walk it out in my life. That's me this morning. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Man, praise the Lord. There's some men in here this morning. You got right with God. You say, I'm going to lead my family. Some other men, you just need to say, you know what? I've made a mess of this. I'm not sure what to do at this point, but I'm going to follow God in it. Just raise your hand. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to start listening to Him. Father, all over this room, men, women, freshly committing their lives to You, God. God, I pray they don't look for an emotion. They don't look for a feeling. God, they just start walking out in their life and see You do some incredible things. God, I pray that even this afternoon and tonight, tomorrow, that, Lord, they would remember those words that we are to live by the Spirit. That if we truly want to be alive, it's going to be following You so that our lives can be used by You to make an eternal difference. Father, for those that still need to give their life to You, God, don't let them leave here. Don't let them leave here this morning without talking to somebody, without asking somebody. Say, oh, can you just pray with me? Or I just need to talk with You. Those were the exact words I said January 24th, 1990, after the service. I asked the pastor if I could talk to him. And a few minutes later, in a little back room in that building, I got on my knees and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and He changed me forever. He'll do the same for you this morning. You need to trust Him.